The reading for today is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the busyness that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is, already has been. That which is to be, already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away.
Well, good morning. My name is Sam Pilgrim. We're going to be preaching to us from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 this morning. We've got a three-year-old daughter, and one of the favourite things she likes to ask is, why? Why, Daddy? Why? Why do I have to get dressed? She asked in the morning. Well, it's just what you do. It's cold outside. Daddy, why when I go to bed is the moon not out yet and it's still light outside? Well, it's called the season's fee. I often find it's not the time to have those sort of discussions just before bedtime. Why, she asks. Why? And there's some things, I suppose, it is easier to answer. Some things that we do at least seem to have control over. But there's other things, aren't there? Like the seasons, for example, that are outside of my grasp and control. Why? And that's not just a three-year-old thing, but a human thing, isn't it? We struggle when we don't know answers, when we feel like we're not in control. There are times and seasons, both in Zen autumn, winter, summer, spring, but times and seasons of life. We do our gardening, we get dressed appropriately, we put the car lights on in the evening. Why? It's not just when we want to, but it's governed by the times and seasons that we find ourselves in. And so in life, doesn't it feel like that? There are different seasons, times in life. Perhaps we're living in a particularly unique one now. Who would have thought 6 months ago that life would be like what it is now? In life, we try to grasp for things, to have a hold on things, to know all the answers. But we can't. And like our preacher's been saying, those things, trying to grasp, it's like trying to grasp the smoke. It's vanity. It's chasing the winds. We can't do it. And so, as one writer said, we dance to a tune not of our making. We live, yes, and we exercise our choices. But we do that in the times and seasons in which we live, outside of our control. And we see it in verse 1 to 8 of this famous chapter. There's a time for everything. It's a much loved chapter. Perhaps you've had it read at a funeral. Perhaps you knew the song that was sung to it in the 60s. There's a great balance as we've got these 14 pairs describing life under the sun, that the human experience in all its extremities. Our teacher has surveyed the world, and this is his summary. This is the reality of human life, living in our fallen and broken world. It's a world with beauty, yet suffering. It's a world with laughter, yet weeping. It's a world that has a time to be born, and yet a time to die. The 14 statements cover a wideness of human experience. They start with the biggest events, birth and death, and likewise end with huge events, war and peace. Both things out of our control. We don't choose the times we were born and we die. We don't choose whether we're born into a time of war or a time of peace. There's times and seasons that we live in, and it's outside of our control. It covers matters of work. There's planting and uprooting, tearing down and building. It's constructive and destructive. These things that we do set within the boundaries of time. We've been doing a bit of gardening recently, as many have been doing in lockdown. There's a time to plant, and if you miss it, your veg ain't going to grow, as we've experienced. And there's another time to uproot and harvest. And if you miss that, well, it rots, or the birds get it first. We dance to a tune, not of our making. These phrases are relational. It's weeping and laughing, mourning and dancing, speaking and being silent. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Clearly they knew about social distancing, our preacher. It's about possessions, a time of much and little, to search and to give up. You see, wisdom is looking at the world realistically, surveying our lot. This is the reality of life lived. Living life in a beautiful world, one that is broken. Life is both joy and sadness, beauty and pain, laughter and a weeping. Isn't that your experience? It certainly is mine. And our struggle as Western people is often we expect the bed of roses, the Hollywood ending, the happily ever after. We're trained as people that, on the majority of us, don't live in wartime or haven't experienced that, but just a time of peace. We live in a time of prosperity with great medicine and healthcare, money to enjoy leisure and technology. So we become trained for the laughter, for the harvest, for the peace. We think that's what life is, and yet we're caught then desperately short when we experience the other seasons of life too. We expect, as educated, rational people, to be able to answer the why question, to explain the times and seasons, to be like gods. And perhaps as Western Christian people, our view of God can easily become this. We become a Christian, so we expect the blessing and not the curse. We expect, therefore, the laughter and the desires of my heart to be met. None of the seasons of winter and darkness and pain. And when those seasons come, and they will, and they do, as I know many of you know, in a way far deeper than I've experienced in my life so far, sometimes we can become unprepared. We grow bitter. This wasn't what we expected, we say. Our prayers seem to be unanswered. We become disillusioned. We cry out, why? What are we to do when things go wrong? But living wisely is listening to the preacher, He gets us ready for the reality of life in our broken worlds. It is a world of beauty yet brokenness, of laughter yet weeping, of birth and death. There is a time and a season for everything. And you're going to experience them. And it might be right now that you feel utterly depressed. Sam, you're a bit glass half empty this morning, aren't you? And you see, if all we do is look at things under the sun, what our eyes can see, then surely that is our conclusion. If the world we can observe, if the material world is it, then this is just our lot. When death and weeping comes, when war breaks out, when we get ill, what can we say? Well, it's just the season. It's just bad luck. Just the way the atoms have randomly rubbed together. There's no hope. This is it. There's a time for this and a time for that. When we face injustice, when the wicked prosper, what do we say? Just life under the sun? Is that it? I don't know about you, but I'm glad the preacher doesn't leave us there. That's reality that many people believe. I wonder if you believe that. Do you realise that they have no answers, therefore, to these questions? But come with me and listen to where the preacher goes, because the difference from verse 9 to 15 is God. God makes the difference. So far in the book of Ecclesiastes, he's been pretty absent, not really mentioned. But chapter 3, things change. And three things to hold on to realise amidst the seasons of life, three T's for you this morning. Tension, trust, and treasure. Firstly, live in the tension. Verse 11 is a key verse in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let me read it. God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. There's three things here that set up this tension that we live in. First, beauty. He's made everything beautiful in its time. There's many things beautiful that we appreciate, and much is listed through this book. Birth, babies, times of peace. Through the books, it mentions enjoying the light of the sun, sunshine, the wife of our youth, friendship, food, drink, the reality of a good meal after a hard day's work. And we know beauty, which is often what makes the realities of darkness quite so hard. God has made everything beautiful in its time. There's much beauty. Second, eternity. He has also set eternity in the human heart. If you like, this is the opposite of the time and the season. We live wanting to see beyond the time and season we're placed in, but to see the end, to see the big picture, where things are heading. There's something we've already seen in the preacher, in this search. Things made better. A time that doesn't end. Longings satisfied. Seasons of life which won't blow this way and that. We long to view things in this way. We have eternity in our hearts. We long to see where the story will end, that the answers are why to our questions. Yet here's the tension. Thirdly, there's blindness. Yet no one can fathom, can't see what God has done from beginning to end. This is the tension that we struggle with. We have eternity in our hearts, but we long to see in the future, to see zoomed out how things will end up. We have eternity in our hearts. We long for answers. Yet we can't. We can't fathom. Our life is but one little piece in a big jigsaw. We want to see the whole image, yet all we can see is the times and seasons on our piece. So we live and struggle in this tension. We want to know the end, yet only God can know it. No one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Why we cry? Why perhaps God at the moment, as this pandemic come, at this time, and have this effect? Why we say God? Why God? In the place of goodness, is there wickedness? Why do the wicked prosper, we might say? Why do people get away with evil? Why is there such prejudice and racism that we experience? Why is there death and pain? Why so much mourning and so little laughter? Why God? Perhaps the Christian says, when I've talked to my kids about Jesus and prayed for them, why have they turned away from him? Why do my prayers appear unanswered? Why this time and season of life? We struggle, there's tension. There are things beautiful and we long to know the big picture. Yet no one can fathom the beginning and to the end. Only God. So we live in this tension, which leads us to our two other T's. Secondly, trust in God. You see, God is the one who can fathom, who can see, who does hold in his hands from beginning to end. So we've got to trust him. Verse 14, the preacher says, I know that everything God does will endure forever. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. God does it so that people will fear him, revere him, place our trust in him. Love him in a way we love one who is God. Verse 18, God tests us so that we may see that we're like animals. The idea that is we're not gods. We love to think we've got all the answers, but we don't. And these trials, these seasons of life show us that. And verse 17, wonderfully, this is good news that the difference that God makes. God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed. You see, in chapter 1, we set up this random circling of life. Yet here, that's almost repeated but changed. Verse 15. God will call the past to account. It's not all random. God says there will be a day when he does come to judge. So we trust him for that amidst the times and seasons we live in now. Our call? To trust him through this. And that doesn't diminish our emotions. There still is a time to weep, a time to mourn, a time to laugh. There still is the reality of grief and joy. Yet it is going somewhere. We're not just dancing to a random tune. Life isn't just whirling around. There is God. He is Lord. He is the one who is sovereign, that holds the world in his hands. So our call is to trust him. We only play our little piece like a musician in an orchestra. And we don't really know, as we see the music in front of us, where it's going. But God is our great conductor that brings it all together, all the chaos, all the noise, all the times and seasons. He knows the beginning to the end. Trust him. And wonderfully, as we look through the Bible, we see his track record is pretty good. We read in the time of Joseph, one for Joseph, that was a time where he received evil and injustice. His brothers beat him, sold him off into slavery. He ended up in prison. Yet God was there even in those evil times. Even though the brothers meant it for evil, God in his power and wisdom brought it to good. We read that and we think we can trust God. Even when we're in this time and season now, he will bring it to good. We see Jesus and we think we can trust him. We see his example of wonderfully trusting his Father. Going to die, knowing it was his time to die on the cross. He says, my hour has come. And he knew there would be a time when he would rise again. He knew the seasons of life. And he trusted his Father. We see Jesus, who at just the right time, Romans tells us, while we were still powerless, while we were still in sin, Christ died for us, us who are ungodly. While we were sinners, Christ died for us and rose to life and will come and judge the world. God is good, so trustworthy. He's a God that we see in Romans 8 that works for the good of those who love him, to change us into his image. Friends, this is wonderful words of hope, that amidst the trials, the times and seasons that I know many of you brothers and sisters have faced and are going through right now, we can trust God. He is good. He sees the big picture from beginning to end. And we can trust what he's doing. He will bring good out of it. He will judge those that bring evil against you. And he judges us, but wonderfully for us who are in Jesus. The price has been paid and we are welcomed by him. We trust God. And thirdly and finally, we treasure God's good gifts. We saw last week, our preacher has been on this search, this quest. For satisfaction and joy. He's tasted everything that he could get his hands on, and which has been a meaningless search, a chasing after the wind. He hasn't profited, gained from it. And Andy helpfully showed us last week in chapter 2 that it was all about the I. I had done it, the preacher tells us. This is what I tried to do. Yet here at the end of chapter 2 and in chapter 3, verse 12, 13, 22, and numerous other points during the book, we see a better answer. Have a look at me at chapter 3, verse 12. I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. You see, if we acknowledge work and food and friendship, not as something to make much of ourselves, to gain profit from, but instead receiving it as a wonderful gift from our gracious God, to enjoy it out of his hands, the way he wanted us to enjoy these things, there is where enjoyment and satisfaction comes in. It means that amidst the pain, beauty can be found. Not seeking to gain from them or just to distract us from the reality of life, but to receive simple gifts from the Lord as a joy. This is the secret of contentment we see here. It means we can work hard and come home and enjoy a meal with friends, with family. We go out and we hear the bird song and we enjoy nature and we say, God, this is glorious. It's from you. We can go for a walk, we can play sport, we can do art, we can create, knowing the pleasure of our Lord. These are gifts from our God, not to seek to gain from it, but to enjoy them as gracious gifts out of the hand of our God, who is a wonderful giver. Our teacher had more than anyone could imagine, yet he wasn't content in any of it, because he didn't receive them out of the hands of the Lord. He didn't trust the Lord for the fruit from it. And of course, we stand here knowing the greatest gift our God gives us is that of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Friends, we can know his love, his forgiveness, his pleasure in us, his freedom and friendship. So in him, we come and drink and never thirst, eat and never grow hungry. In Jesus, there's contentment for our souls, where acceptance and love that we crave and desire is wonderfully found. So we are free to enjoy the world that God has given us, to see things beautiful in their time, in the times and seasons we have. We can enjoy God because he is good. Friends, times and season come. There is a time for everything, and you experience that, and that is out of our control. But wonderfully, it's not random. It's in God's hands. He alone can see from beginning to end. So we say it's okay. It's okay we don't know the big picture. But we say, God, we trust you. Into our lives we commit. Into your hands, sorry, we commit our lives. So help us, Lord, to trust you amidst these seasons. It means we have hope. And this is a hope to be shared. Because it means the people that are experiencing such loss at the moment, when things are going wrong for them, they've got nowhere to turn. Friends, help us. We need to offer this wonderful hope that can be found in Jesus, that knowing he is Lord and King. So we trust him. We say, God, we're not gods. We're your creatures. But we know we matter to you. You have sent your son to us. He's forgiven us and brought us into life. Help us, Lord, to find contentment there. What do we do when things go wrong? When we ask why? Well, we accept the reality of life in our broken worlds. We can't know why, but we do know God. So we place our trust in him. He is Lord. He is on the throne. He is good. And boy, has he shown us through the pages of scripture, and namely in his son, Jesus Christ. He is good. So we trust him. And we treasure his good gifts for us. And it's hard, so let's pray for God's help now. God, you alone have the times and seasons in your hand. Lord, we experience both grieving and mourning and laughter. Lord, we struggle. We want to know why. We have eternity in our hearts. But help us, Lord, to trust you, to revere you, to declare you God, and to enjoy, to treasure all your good gifts that you give us now. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.